But
right.
That's actually a great way to start. We're here live in Studio C at KUSF, which is the Father Spieler
Us
studio.
New Yorkers.
Exactly.
Do they know about spieling? I guess they do would know about that.
Do you know what KDR produced? You know what spieling is?
The origin.
It's a spiel, which is like you're selling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And here's a great opening for yet another interview on The Menace's Attic. Chris Lee is here in Studio C, and you're at the Makeout Room. Well, I would say tonight, except it's already happened, so we're just here to sell CDs, I guess.
Sure, sure.
But I walk in like I know everything, and sometimes I walk in like I know nothing.
All right.
I know nothing.
Okay, great.
Which is great because, for example, the ad for the Makeout Room says, Chris Lee, parentheses, Portland. Now,
I can't explain that.
Portland, where?
I have no idea. I mean,
have you been in many ports or something? A land of ports?
Yeah, maybe it's just a general adjective. I don't know.
Do you like to drink port?
It's fine. I mean, you know, not more than any other kind of fortified type beverage. But I think, you know, there's a lot of Chris Lee's. Maybe there's one in Portland that I have no idea.
Where are you from, for real?
I'm from North Carolina.
That's what
I
thought.
Yeah, and I live in New York.
But there's no Portland, North Carolina
we
know of.
Yeah, I mean, they're very well maybe, but I don't hail from there. There is.
Right, so North Carolina. So tell me a little bit about, I mean, this CD that I've been playing on my show is not the first, but is it the first that's really kind of gotten...
Well, they've all maybe done incrementally better than their predecessors, but, you know, I guess just having been at it for a little bit longer and, you know, you release a couple of them and people kind of figure maybe you're not going to go away, so they start to pay a little more attention and check it out. I mean, being on a record label that's not financed by a conglomerate, you know, it's a little bit harder to crack through the media, you know, gate or whatever. So we've just been trying to build it really slow, and I don't know why this one jumped out maybe more than the other
why
ones.
Why it's resonating?
Yeah, but it's good. I mean, I hopefully I'm getting better. So. Maybe that has something to do with it.
That's part. Now, this particular CD, because I want to stay here.
Yeah.
You know, and we could go in the past and talk about you started as a small child and all of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's more fun to stay here.
Okay.
I think, you know, people can always go on the web and find out your entire, you know, history.
Mm-hmm.
Although, what is relevant is, here's the North Carolina boy, and there's an option for quote, singer-songwriters.
Uh-huh.
You know, the option for singer-songwriters is New York or L.A. And, of course, being in L.A. and playing at, you know, at that bar on Fairfax across from Cantor's Deli and everything else is the thing to do. Or, actually, the other person that we've interviewed recently, do you know Mary Lee Cortez, Mary Lee's Corvette?
Yeah, I've heard of that stuff. Yeah.
And she came from somewhere that wasn't New York or L.A. And so tell me a little bit about the New York scene, because the singer-songwriter thing is very... It's not that it's LA-ish, but the New York scene is very much more the punk and all of that sort of thing.
I mean, I'm not really a part of any. I mean,
you're not really. I mean, singer songwriter, but you listen to the album. You're in a band too.
Yeah,
so
I mean, I don't feel. I feel pretty outside. What's kind of going on in New York right now? I mean, it's a great city for music. Obviously, I just have never really been inclined to. You know, insert myself into any kind of clique or whatever. So, I moved to New York for sort of different reasons, you know, or really no real good reason, specific reason at all, except for to get out of the South and to be exposed to sort of what I had known had been going on in New York. You know, I mean, it's New York. I don't know how it was just attractive to me.
No, it's the
culturally
energy.
And intellectually.
It's
and all
the
that
energy.
Stuff. Yeah.
I understand. I did, as you know, I did my time there too.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I guess I just ended up there, and I mean, none of this is too planned. I mean, I always played and sang and wrote and played in a ton of different other kinds of bands and did a bunch of other kind of things until just happened to start making these records and.
So how does it feel to be Chris Lee? I have to, you know, have someone read you your reviews as they would read it.
Yeah,
is a star already. It's up to us to catch up. His soulful pop and soaring croon will take over the world. Women will swoon, and I just met your wife, so we'll. But she's left the studio, and guys won't be able to hate him for it. He's that good.
Yeah, I don't know.
Says time out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean. I don't know. I can't explain that.
But it's great.
Yeah, no, I've been fortunate enough to have people say really nice things in print. And
let me ask you this way. It's a great way to say it. You grew up in North Carolina. That gives you a whole different set of influences.
Sure.
So tell me a little bit who you listen to and who you listen to these days and all that sort of thing.
Well, I grew up. My parents were. You know, not particularly hip in many other ways, but they did. They were both devotees of you know, rhythm and blues and soul music and everything from Motown and Stax and Philly International and the stuff that's happening nationally. But also, there's a regional R&B sort of sound in the Carolinas.
Very much so. Beach music.
That was, you know, you would have. Those songs when I was growing up were alongside the more national hits, and I didn't know the difference, you know. But
I was, you know, it's funny because having grown up in New York and then suddenly discovering that there was, while I was doing what I was doing in New York, there was this whole beach music scene,
sure.
And that only certain things fell into it, like Brenton Wood, Give Me a Little Sign,
right.
You know, or
right,
the Oogum right. Boogum song,
yep,
or.
Yep.
You know, or, and it wasn't the Beach Boys.
Sure.
It was like I equate it to Northern Soul in England, right? That whole Northern Soul scene.
Yeah. It was a self-contained aesthetic and also a self-contained economy. And, you know, it's all around Myrtle Beach and what they call the Grand Strand and, you know, my parents shagged and all that crazy stuff, you know. And I don't know. I mean, I didn't know. I had to go back later on and figure out
what Bob Dylan was.
As far as like rock and roll and stuff that most kids, I guess, my age grew up on, I had to learn about that on my own. So you
really had a different set of influences
than
anybody on the left or the right coast.
Pretty much. I mean, and it's just, I mean, really, it has more to do with, I grew up in a town called Charlotte, which was a town. It's a big city now, but
right.
It's a real cultural vacuum and the kind of weird filter that I grew up within, only certain things got in. And so it was a strange mix of things that I was exposed to randomly. And in retrospect, I really am happy that it happened that way because it sort of, you know, came together and
gave you
formed
your
this
uniqueness.
This strange kind of hybrid, you know, that's a little harder to sell maybe, but it's a little more interesting, hopefully, to hear. So, I mean, I don't, you know, when I was, you know, I had my punk rock epiphany as a teenager and everything else. So, I mean, that's sort of what made me, you know, want to do this and think that I could do it, you know. But I always had this kind of soul influence, you know, as my core kind of
very different for a singer songwriter.
Yeah, well, I mean, I consider Stevie Wonder and Prince singer songwriters. I mean, they wrote
indeed.
Yeah, and I mean that if that's what a singer, you know, if those guys are considered singer songwriters, then I'm happy too. I don't identify so much with the kind of 70s LA singer songwriter. I mean, there's some great stuff of that period, but I mean. Technically, what I do is write these songs and sing them, you know, so I can't really avoid that kind of label, I guess.
But yet on the album, your range is as far as a Mississippi John Hurt, for example.
Yeah, well, that stuff is the source code, you know, whether you're talking about, you know, that to me, those kind of tunes just explode the idea of genre and style. I mean, that's where it all comes from. I mean, you hear rock and soul and jazz and everything in those old solo blues performances. And I think, you know, that's the ultimate thing to aspire to be able to have something that elemental and primal and basic and simple and pure and convey that kind of weight with just a guitar and a voice. I mean, that's, you know, if you're a performer, to aspire to do something that strong, I think that's the ultimate sort of achievement.
Sounds like the album that Cool Rock you know, you say on your website you recorded it spontaneously.
Yeah.
But then you had quite the mixer.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it's this rare, not so rare, but a lot of these kind of things these days, especially the indie things, mm-hmm. you know, are recorded spontaneously and finished mm-hmm. spontaneously. Mm-hmm. And what you did is you painted the house, but then when you put on the second coat,
right.
you went out of your way to make sure that the gloss was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a crafted piece.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, honestly, a lot of it ends up being kind of economic, practical sort of things, a stop start, you know, when the money's there, when people are free, when you can pay them, all that kind of thing. So just getting the sounds on tape and on hard disk where applicable was a sort of a piecemeal kind of job. And then I was sort of left with this big blob of music and needed somebody to sort of tie it all together. And so, you know, we asked Marky if he was free, and I went down to Nashville and mixed in a big spaceship room, and you know,
doesn't get better than that.
Yeah,
does it?
It was really cool. I mean, Nashville was amazing. I never really spent that
totally
much time
different
there.
Vibe, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
that's
it was,
a
it was
it's
crazy.
A it's a whole nother. You know, you call it a spaceship, Nashville. I'm amazed at what comes out of Nashville
yeah.
because everybody has this perception that one thing comes out of Nashville,
right,
and yet
right.
so much rock and roll
definitely.
And pop is mixed there
on.
These
yeah,
days.
Absolutely.
There's
I mean,
a sound.
Sure, sure. It's a music town, you know, and it's not just about sort of the more mainstream country stuff. And Marky was a guy who worked, you know, in that system for years and just, you know, burned out and now just wants to make weird records with interesting people, and I think it's funny because a lot of the people that I ran across that week I was down there, you know, he's a little bit of a hero for having the guts to do that, and I think a lot of engineers in the country world sort of, you know, have a little bit of envy about Mark because he's really following his muse and making some incredible stuff, whether the Lamb Chop stuff or the Will Oldham stuff or whatever's being done.
Yeah, actually, I you know, and again, I come either very early to things or late, and I came very late to Vic Chestnut.
Right.
And yet his latest album is just some of the covers on there just
yep.
blow me
Vic's
away.
Vic's amazing. Yeah, he's a treasure. I mean, and another, you know, another sort of, for me, a proud sort of Southern, you know,
boy making song. Good.
Yeah, definitely.
So speaking of which, for those who don't ever get to come into studio here at KUSF, it's about 3,000 degrees in
yeah.
here. So I'm going to have you play a song okay. and then we'll chat a little more. So I got to tell you, you know, everybody's playing Cossacks of Love, but the other thing that's amazing to me is some of the titles. You know, here's the North Carolina boy, you know, talking about, you know, a Bronx science class
yeah.
and a girl that he's he wants her.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you know?
Yeah, I guess the title, I mean, I think I even told Vin this, mostly, you know, I'll get a title that just seems like it needs to have a song written. So
you see, you just kind of decided it was about a girl in science
yeah,
class
in
the Bronx.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean,
is that a good one to do?
We could do that one. Yeah, I'm going to just change my tuning a little bit.
Uh-oh, he was prepared. You see, I do this all the time.
It's
on these
okay.
live
no,
sessions.
No.
I wasn't going to play. I've never played that one, and I don't do that one.
This is great. No, I'm... That's all I needed to do.
Okay, well, let's give it a shot.
Groovy.
Chris Lee.
Got to understand, Julianne found my true religion in the city's desert sand. Secret mission, my Yankee Belle. I never knew I needed someone else until I fell into the arms of my Julianne. Julianne, she's my sweet physician. You got to understand, Julianne. Julianne found my true religion in the city's desert sand. Sacred heart is in her hands. Her every whim is my command. Understand, I'm your man, Julianne, Julianne. Julianne, she's my sweet physician. You got to understand, Julianne.
Lovely. Sounded good.
Thank you.
And the guy mixing it didn't do a very good job, but the audience will figure that out later.
Rough is all right.
Yeah, we do what we can when we need to. So now, are you traveling with the band?
No, band? These are good. These have been solo gigs mostly this summer because I don't know. Summer's slow. You know, it's a good time to take kind of a working vacation. So I did 3 weeks with kind of a, I don't know, a package tour of people that are on Mizra, the Mizra label, a band called Summer Hymns, and a guy named Will Johnson. So we did those 3 weeks and ended up in Texas, and then I struck out on my own out west and had Julie fly and meet me on the West Coast, and we did the whole California One drive yesterday. And
is Julie from the Bronx?
She's from Washington Heights actually, but she went to Bronx School of Science.
Okay, so it truly is so for the women in the audience, I'm sorry, it truly is a love song.
yeah.
Sorry, kids.
Yeah, the first one ever. But maybe more to come. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I'll talk to her about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Considering I met the influence, I might be able to do something about it.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit. You did two nights in L.A. Now, was that the first time a venue of that size?
Well, we played the NIT last time, opening for Richard Buckner,
uh-huh.
which was great. And then, and just went back and did it. Well, we just did one night there. I had a day off, but or we drove yesterday, but. Yeah, I mean, you know, the NIT's a nice place.
Is the equivalent of this station, KCRW, are they playing it down there?
They played it a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah.
They weren't nice enough to have me in, but...
They weren't nice enough?
They not
suck.
Like this place.
How dare they? But I think the bigger thing for me is the audience. Are they have you gotten people who are starting to...
It's a small... I mean, you know, it's a slow sort of snowball thing. I mean, I think every time I go back to these places, it's a little bit... better, and it's pretty much word of mouth, so that just takes time to build, and we've done fine. It's hard to get too disillusioned when I'm able just to play and make the records and write the songs and do this on the level that I'm doing it right now. It's just been a lot of fun, and to be able to see the country and meet people is sort of, you know, I try to take that stuff for granted.
Not a bad deal.
Yeah, I'd love to have throngs of people and piles of money, but I could care less if it happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
something that you want, but you don't necessarily need, because that's a whole other mess of problems.
Exactly. So, what were you originally tuned for when you came into the
room?
Well,
then it was just I'd use this open C tuning, and then I, for that song, I use it's like a C6.
So if I didn't tell you to play something, what song would you be playing at this very moment? What would be appropriate for the 90-degree studio C?
Played Understand or Say It Ain't Soul.
Well, then heck, pick one.
All right, let me get back down to G here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris is, for those of you who cannot see this on television, Chris is now tuning his guitar. He is strumming several of the strings.
All right, are we ready?
Oh, well, I've been enough of a wise ass, haven't I? Yes, I think so.
All right, here we go.
Swearing by the wildest notion that you and I are supposed to be. I'm reveling in blind emotion, knowing you will come to see. I'm doing everything I can to make you understand, I'm your man. These reveries of love I'm blaring, they won't be wasted melodies. These stations of the cross that I'm bearing, frequencies I'm bound to reach. I'm doing everything I can to make you understand. Understand, I'm your man. So divine, with just the thought of making you mine. The chase is everything, no matter what it brings, and I won't stop till every soul sings. Doing everything I can to make you understand. Understand, I'm your man. Do 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 do. Understand, I'm your man.
Oh, we need a big audience in here. That's right. We forgot. Woo! Unfortunately, most of our sessions, this is the way it goes. Katie right. and I supply the laugh. I almost said the laugh track. Actually, that happens too on our sessions. But I was thinking that the other thing is what we do is we also redub it over, you know, with 36 tracks and
excellent. Yeah,
turn it into millions.
Yeah, hire some sessions.
So I have this idea. We have to find you a soundtrack. Has anybody approached you yet? Because, I mean, heck, if Elliot Smith
I would love to do something
can do
like
a soundtrack, I think that you need to do I've got this figured out.
All right.
We need to remake The Graduate.
All right, yes.
And you can do the whole Simon and Garfunkel thing.
I would be totally into that.
Okay, so anybody who is listening out there, of which there are many, many filmmakers, including myself, by the way,
all right.
in San Francisco, take note. Chris is available.
Cheap.
And
Initially,
at least. And yeah, until the movie becomes a hit and then he wants points.
Yes.
So... what's next? This thing is in the can. It's out there. People are playing it. Yeah. They're promoting The Living Daylights. Well, I don't know if they are, but they should be.
Yeah. Well, I think
how many more songs are there ready to?
Oh, there's a lot. There's always stuff. I mean, I think I sort of in retrospect, these first three things sort of are, they're part of a similar process and journey or something. I don't know. I feel like I sort of tied it together with this new thing, and so I'm looking to do something pretty different next time. I mean, not so much with the songs as with the production and the.
So what would it be? Would it be more?
I mean,
it wouldn't be more slick because.
No, I think it maybe even be more extreme in either direction. I think I'm trying to simplify and get even more pure with the writing and just have it. I'd like to do something even more sort of streamlined, not in a commercial way, but just in an aesthetic way, be able to say more with less as far as the music goes. And then production-wise, I think I'd like to get a little bit more crazy. And I mean, these first three records...
Crazy as in more overdubs and more that kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, just different sounds and different techniques. And I mean, these first three were just made so quick and so pretty much basic, you know, guys in a room getting the songs on tape, not a lot of takes, not a lot of second thoughts about what we were doing. And I think that's a really good thing in a lot of ways, to not labor stuff to death, but I would like to use the studio a little bit more for the sonic possibilities.
There's so many toys.
Yeah, there really
is. And used to a proper device.
Absolutely.
I think the problem these days is that they're used as devices.
They are, and I mean, you know, you just need time to, and you need to be able to catch yourself when you do misuse the studio. And I think, you know, the more time you have to sort of, you know, it can be a blessing and a curse, and certainly you can, your chances of making a bad record are just the same if you've got $1 million in 6 months as it is if you've got $10 in 2 days. But I don't know, I think I've done it this way for the last three, and I'm sort of looking to try something to shake it up a little bit. So we'll see.
Excellent. Yeah. So now people can go, obviously the record is pretty much available on all the major
websites and
websites
stuff. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah,
you can and Chris Lee is not exactly hard to remember.
No. And you know, there's chrislee.org. And people ask me, well, why .org? And I say,
and because you're a charity.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's a nonprofit.
Every singer should be a .org.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except maybe David Lee Roth.
Yeah, exactly. He can be .com.
He can be a .com.
DiamondDave.com. Exactly. So you can get chrislee.org, MizraRecords.com. You can buy my record and check out. There's a bunch of other great acts on the label.
And Chris will also be at various streets in San Francisco as this is being played on the corner, screaming, "Buy my CD."
Yes. Yes, hawking, with a big hawking, megaphone. Yeah.
Hawking the CD, which is always good. So here's one other crazy question. So if I were going to follow up this lovely interview, because it is getting hot in here and we want to let you go off and have your have the rest of your day.
And
Chris is going to go to his sound check tonight, and they're going to say, "Wow, where were you?" And he's going to say, "I was at KUSF." And that's a pretty hot radio station. And he's going to say, "No kidding, it's a hot radio station." If you were to pick a song or a couple of songs that I was going to play in the set after we just did this, that you'd want to hear on the radio, would it be some beach music? What would it be?
Oh, it could be beach music. You know, maybe the Embers or the Tams, or I mean, even Platters had some good. Chairman of the Board, you know, those
Chairman
are all
of the
good.
Board, huh?
But little, my big, I would
give me just a little more time.
Something like that. Yeah. Yep.
I can get away with that.
Okay.
Scarily
there you
enough.
Go. There you go. I'm a big fan of. Another fellow Southern songwriter named Dan Penn. So I've been doing "I'm Your Puppet" in my sets live. So that might be a good one. Either that's the James Carr version, or I think Dan and Spooner made a live record a couple years ago and did their version of it.
Very cool.
But yeah, any of that stuff.
Excellent. Well, Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You know, have a great show. I say tonight. This will be played a few days later. But again, the goal here is to get people
out there. Yeah.
Get the people out there. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
it's my pleasure.
Absolutely.
All right.